Let's all stand. Together we're going to lift up our voices as we sing Onward Christian Soldiers and then Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Nations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthems raise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The promise good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. It is good to have each of you out this evening. Let's open up with a word of prayer. And tonight we've got some different things we're going to do. We have a little PowerPoint about the persecuted church around the world. And I'm going to have a little bit of unison reading. Going to ask some people to pray some parts as we just really think about the need to lift up and care for and love our brother and sister around the world. And then my message is going to be tied into prayer. So we've got a number of things lined out. We had thought about doing a business meeting tonight to talk about the parking lot, but the contractor did not get back with me. He had a secondary price on some stone, and he was not able to get that secondary price. So we'll put that off until we get the right prices down for the parking lot. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the way you provide for us, the way you watch over us. And I do pray that you be with us tonight. We had such a great time today with the newcomers lunch and amazing attendance this morning. Lord, truly you deserve all the glory and honor. And I just pray that in every way you would help us as your children to have a heart of compassion for those around the world who do not have a church, where they are not allowed to worship, where it's against the law for them to sing, "My chains are gone." Lord, I pray for those brothers and sisters in Christ, even right now, that you would be with them. Be with us as we come together as a church. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
As we continue singing tonight, we're going to sing a song called "Facing a Task Unfinished." And as we sing this song is really, it's a mission song, but a lot of the words in here refer to the persecuted church. So as we sing this song tonight, I hope that you can think and see it as we sing that we're going to sing about facing a task unfinished. We go to all the world.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to and make thee known. Where other lords beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defied thee defy thee still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. We bear the torch that flames fell from the hands of those who gave their lives, proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errand send us, to labor for thy sake. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. All o'er those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness let me wake. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. At the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me wait.
This evening, like I said, I have a little PowerPoint because today we are focusing on praying for the persecuted church around the world. And so I'm going to ask that Brother Mike would bring that up. So we have right here, Join a Prayer Movement, a global prayer movement, International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. And some places they celebrate, they don't celebrate it, they recognize it on different days. We chose this day because it just worked in our year's calendar, and I don't want the year to go by without us doing that. But this little PowerPoint is going to bring us through some steps concerning prayer. And I'm going to ask for some folks to pray, and I'm going to ask us to do a little bit of reading in unison. So second slide, I'd like us to read that in unison. So let's do that. Christian children are persecuted for bearing witness to Christ. Look with me at the second slide. I mean the third one. I'm going to say the next one next time instead of the number. But here it says, pray that God will give courage and strength to our youngest brothers and sisters. And so as I was working on this, I thought about our church officers, and I thought to myself, who in our church officers would be wonderful to pray for courage and strength to our youngest brothers and sisters? And I thought about how Kathy Boyce was a Sunday school teacher for years and years and years for our littlest children in the church. And I wanted to ask Kathy, would you please stand and just pray out loud and pray for the boys and girls, our youngest brothers and sisters around the world, that they might have courage and strength. Pray from your heart, whatever your own words are.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with these children around the world. Lord, I pray that you would be with the parents help them to teach the children what they need to know. And then I pray that the children would have the courage to stand up for you when they know what's right. I pray that you would help them to be strong and to really know their faith. Lord, I pray that you would watch over each one of them, keep them safe. Lord, I know that there's a lot of people in countries where they're not allowed to come like we are freely today, as we hear the little ones even now. And I just pray that you would watch over each heart there, keep them on the path of you. And I pray that you would just guide and direct in their lives. And we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Kathy. Next slide. Let's read this in unison. Persecutors around the world are determined to stop the evangelism and discipleship of children. And so as I went down and I looked at that and I thought about that as well, we go to the next prayer, and I'm going to ask that Smokey is going to pray, but it says that persecuted Christian parents and church leaders will boldly disciple children despite opposition. And Smokey is one of our trustees. The reason I'm choosing Smokey is him and Suzanne moved all the way to Vermont just for their granddaughter. They came here to be a presence and an influence on their granddaughter who lives up in Quebec, Canada. They have a heart to see their granddaughter discipled, that she might know and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought, what better officer to have pray for that than Brother Smokey? So would you stand and pray, Smokey?
Our Heavenly Father, we just don't realize what we have here in this country. You know, Lord, that we have an open society where we can worship as we please. But Lord, that's not the case around the world. There are people that have all kinds of problems with being able to disciple their children, being able to bring them up in a Christian way, honoring and loving you in all that they do. We pray, God, that you be present in all these situations, that you be there to help with whatever their needs might be so that they might have a better opportunity. Provide the guidance and withstand the persecutions that they face daily. Be with them and guide them and direct them in your perfect will and your Son's name.
Amen. The next slide, it says, pray that as children grow in spiritual maturity and obedience, they will become faithful witnesses. And I thought about that. I thought about, well, which one of our officers in our church, you know, is somebody who helps people grow in spiritual maturity and helps them to learn to be a witness? And I thought about Brother Kurt, one of our deacons, and the ministry he has in discipleship. He teaches the 12 steps in spiritual growth. And is Kurt right outside the door? He's not here. He's farther away than that. That's okay. So we'll grab somebody else. We can always grab his dad, couldn't we? If we in his stead. But I did think of Kurt because Kurt teaches that discipleship class every single time we have people who sign up. And he works through the class, he does an excellent job. And we have all through our church people who have gone through those 12 steps of spiritual growth and discipleship. And that's what this is about. Seeing people come to spiritual maturity and obedience. Do you want to pray for in place of your son?
I don't know if I can do that. Father, we thank you for this time that we can pray to you. Father, just help us as we think about these children that we have in our lives, that we can bring them to spiritual maturity by all the things that we do and say. Father, we just thank you that we can do this in this country. And we pray that you preserve this for us and help us to see ways of preserving it. Give us the strength of watching over us and watching over them. And we just feel so bad. And we just want your help in helping these little children, watching them and teaching them. We thank for this slide presentation that we have tonight, that they for bringing our minds to the World Day of Prayer that we will just think of this more in our lives. Pray. Brothers, we pray in Jesus' name. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And the next slide, let's say that in unison. Let's read it together. More than 500 million people worldwide are trapped in the spiritual darkness of Buddhism. And that is just one of the major religions in the world, just one of them, where they do not want Christianity to have free access to their people, where they do try to find ways to make laws to make it so that they don't hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I live in a unique country where we have absolute total religious freedom. A Buddhist can go and knock on your door tomorrow, or a Muslim, or a cult, or a Christian. We have total religious freedom here, but that's not the case around the world. And so as we look at this, 500 million people locked into a false religion, they need to hear about Jesus, don't they? Let's look at the next slide. It says, pray. Pray that they will experience the truth that Christ is the light of the world. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking again about our officers and the role they play in trying to influence our church. And so I thought about Terry Phillips with our gospel track ministry. He is so faithful about going through the tracks, making sure that there's good tracks in there for every holiday for you to be able to give them out, making sure there's good plain tracks to get the gospel message out that people might learn about Jesus Christ, the light of the world that I preached on this morning. And so I thought we would ask Terry if he would stand and pray good and loud for the reaching the world for Christ, using tracks, but also our words to witness to others.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the abundance of tracts, Lord, that you've allowed us to have here at church. Lord, and I pray, dear Lord, that we'd be able to take them out and use them, distribute them amongst our family and friends, and pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch the lives of those people that we hand them out to and I pray, dear Lord, that you would give us the boldness to hand them out and to give them to people, that we wouldn't let the old devil discourage us when you've given us opportunities to give the tracts out. I thank you, dear Lord, for the many times that you've enabled me to be able to give out a gospel tract or visit with someone, and that there would be a person that would be interested in knowing more about it. And thank you, dear Lord, for those that were brought into the church, Lord, from gospel tracts that we've handed out. And we just thank you and praise you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to have them and to be able to use them.
Amen. Amen. And then the last slide that we have is a prayer I'd like us all to pray together. We'll read it in unison, but we'll read it as unto the Lord in a prayer. As we really think about having a heart for the persecuted church around the world. So let's read this prayer together. Heavenly Father, inspire me through the example of our youngest persecuted brothers and sisters to boldly shine the light of Christ to those I know who are trapped in spiritual darkness. Amen. And I encourage you, don't just think about the persecuted church in the world when I have a once a year recognition, but we need to pray for them all the time. It's really part of my regular prayer life to pray for people. There are literally people in prison camps around the world who their only crime is doing what we're doing tonight, worshiping Jesus. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read to you verses 15 down through 23, because what I want you to look at in this is prayer. Paul's prayer. He is praying for the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus is part of that beginning wave of Christianity, coming up out of Israel and going up north, coming across the Mediterranean, going over to ancient Europe. And Ephesus today is in, popped out of my head, it's in Turkey. And so as we look at that, we understand that this was part of the Roman Empire. This was not part of Judaism. It's not part of Israel. This, if you look at the map, would go up and it would go over. And before you went across the sea, you'd have Ephesus. It was a hub of the Roman Empire, but also a place of persecution. When you became a Christian, you were all of a sudden standing up and saying, I'm rejecting the gods of Rome. And Rome had many gods. You are rejecting Caesar as the ultimate god. You're choosing Jesus Christ. And so as the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he begins to talk about his prayer for them. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 down through 23. And listen what he begins to say as we start off in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what?
Prayers.
So we start off kind of as an introduction to his prayer by him simply saying to them, I have heard about your faith. I've heard about your faith all the way down here, all the way down in Israel, all the way down in this hub. I've heard about how you're living your faith as I journey up and along and through, as I eventually will end up over in Rome, there standing trial and dying for his faith as well. He says, I have heard about your faith in Ephesus. And then what's he say? He says, and your love unto all the saints. I've heard about your faith and for your love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you and I tonight, as we come here, we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. This afternoon, as we met down in the fellowship hall and we had a newcomer's luncheon, we had 41, 42, I'm not exactly sure, somewhere in the low 40s, folks down there, church officers and new families. We visited and we fellowshipped. And one of those couples that was there, I'd already talked to the young lady about her salvation, and she's given me her testimony of when she was a child receiving Christ. And I asked her today, I said, now, your husband, has he received Christ? She said, he doesn't know anything about God and church. And I said, then we have a job, don't we? We have something to do. I said, let's make an appointment. Let's sit down and let's talk about Christ. You see, you and I have a church that has a desire, a heartbeat, to reach the lost, to disciple the saved, to love the brethren. But we have to protect that and watch out for that. We've got to preserve that. Because we want that to reach not just our people, but the next generation and the next generation. Vermont is not becoming more Christian, is it? No, and we need a lighthouse upon the hill. We need an outreach into our community. We have to be that remnant. We've got to be those people that people hear about, like the Apostle Paul. I hear of your faith. I hear of your love for the brothers and sisters in Christ. In verse 16, he starts to talk about the prayer. He says, because of that, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Each and every one of us needs to be that kind of person who just gives thanks for our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it towards all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. For we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." So here we find in the scriptures, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, this talk about loving brothers and sisters in Christ. This evening, as we look at this PowerPoint, we're talking about loving and praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And here in the book of Ephesians, in the city of Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is saying, "I am compelled to pray for you. I'm compelled to give thanks for you in my prayers all the time." And we should be praying one for another. We should pray with that love for one another, with that shared faith with one another. He comes down into verses 17 and 18 and 19. And here we find some specific requests that he talks about, that he's praying to God about the church in Ephesus. He says that the Lord God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He says, "I'm praying for you there in Ephesus. I'm praying for your church there. God is stirring my soul to pray that you would find spiritual wisdom." And you know, it's an interesting thing. When you go to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the Bible tells us that if you lack wisdom, pray. Pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. And he says he will not hold back. He will not be reluctant to give you wisdom. What happens to us sometimes is we think we know. And that's what's so important to us. We think we know. I don't need wisdom. I already know. Oh, wait a minute. We got to step back and say, wait a minute. God, help me to know. Help me to know. Help me to have the wisdom that the Apostle Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus to have. But not just that. He says, "I'm praying also that God would give you revelation," meaning understanding. Listen again to verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." You know, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit brings to us the remembrance of the scriptures that are hid in our heart. He brings to us revelation. He reminds us. So when we're sharing our faith with a neighbor, or we're living in a place where the church is persecuted and somebody's in prison, I've read articles about how that they will get together, the Christians who are in prison, and they'll start to pray, "God, help me to remember the verses I memorized," because they don't have a Bible. The only Bible they have is the one that's hidden in their heart. And this prisoner will say, "Well, I remember this verse." And this one will say, "Well, I remember this verse." And they begin to compile the verses they all remember as God brings it to their remembrance. You and I, we pray and we say, "God, give us wisdom. Bring to our remembrance your truths, your wisdom." And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Right now, there are people in work camps in North Korea who every day they have to labor with limited food, starvation, and their only crime is worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. They're owning a Bible. And that's not the only place. We need to pray for them. When we look in these verses, you come down verse 17, you go down to verse 18, it says, the Apostle Paul says, "I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened," meaning that you will understand the work of God, that you'll understand the work of Christ, that you'll understand the gospel in your community and its outreach. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And I think of those things in the context of living in the Roman Empire, where you're taking your life in your hand to become a Christian. And he's wanting to encourage them. He's saying, I'm praying for you that you understand the glory of the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ as a saint of God. You and I, we're so comfortable, aren't we? I mean, I have preachers who come to our church and they sit in our pews. And our pews are pretty old now. But they're like new. And they get a lot of use. This morning we had over 180 people in church this morning. Praise the Lord for that. So our pews, it's not like we're going to a church where nobody shows up. We have people come. And when we sit in our pews, aren't they comfortable?
Yeah.
We're pretty spoiled. But there are folks in the world who they have to hide. I've heard of outhouse churches in countries where they have to hide. So there's a community outhouse. And they'll all meet together at like 3 o'clock in the morning at the community outhouse. And there they go and they whisper their prayers and they whisper their songs. And whoever's the spiritual leader, he whispers a lesson, a scripture. Thank the Lord we don't meet in an outhouse, huh? We are blessed. And here the apostle, he says to the church in Ephesus, he says, I am praying for you that you understand the glory of the inheritance of the saints. You and I, we have the riches of Christ. We're blessed here with the riches of the society we live in. But even more than that, we're blessed with the riches of Christ. We can get up every morning and say, Lord, be with me, guide me, protect me, watch over me, help me. We have the riches of Christ. That's the prayer we need to pray for those people around the world. They don't have pews. They don't have beautiful warm buildings, but they have the riches of Christ. Pray for them. We come down to verses 20 down through 23, and the apostle here, he prays in spiritual reflection for them. He says to them, he says, which he wrought in Christ, the power of God. He revealed that in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Why is he writing that as God inspires him? Because he wants that church in Ephesus to understand Caesar's not in control. The governor's not in control. The king's not in control. God is in control. And you and I, we rest in our Lord. We rest in our God. According to his mighty power, the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ is the same power you have from day to day. So when you're facing difficulties, when you're facing struggles, who do you go to? Do you go to your neighbor? Do you go to your friend? Do you gripe and complain about all your struggles? Or do you go to your knees? Get on your knees and say, God, help me. The same God who resurrected Jesus Christ, the triune God, is the same God who hears your prayers. And Paul wants them to understand, yes, with the heavy hand of Rome upon you. And Rome's going to take Paul's life. Yes, with the persecution around the world for Christians, we have an all-powerful God. Now, why is it that he doesn't just strike dead every opposition to the gospel? He has given a free will to humankind. And he allows them to choose. I mean, granted, if they made me God, I'd probably go ahead and strike them all dead. But thank the Lord he hasn't made me God. Or you. Each and every one of us are really just servants. But here he writes to us and he says to us, he says, I am praying. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to tap into that power of God, that power that is above all the principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. Doesn't matter who it is. Our God is higher and more powerful. Verse 22, he says, "And he hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the what?"
Church.
To the what?
Church.
To the church. All of a sudden, he throws in the middle of this the church. Well, you know, that's who he's writing to. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, a local church just like you and I. And here he simply, under the inspiration of God, he references the fact that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You and I today, as we come to Victory Baptist Church and we turn our cars in and we come in, Pastor Taylor's not the head of Victory Baptist Church. Jesus Christ is the head of the Victory Baptist Church. When I meet with the officers after services tonight, we will gather together and we will look to the head. Not me. To the head. Now granted, many years ago, the Lord called me to be the pastor here. And someday, the Lord is going to either take me out or move me on, because I'm getting old. It's going to happen one of these days. But the reality is, it's not about me anyways. It's about the Lord. It's about him. He is the head of the what? The church. The word church is the word ecclesia. It simply means an assembly. And it's a called out assembly. That's who we are. We're called out of this Vermont landscape. This community of vastly unbelieving people. And you and I, God reached out and tapped us on the shoulder and said, "Hey, come to me. Listen, I died for you. And at some time, at some place, you put your faith in Jesus Christ." And the Bible tells us that he adds unto the church. You go to the book of Acts. He adds unto the church daily as he so sees fit. You and I that are here tonight, God added us to this church. He brought us here. He brought us to be a part of this. Not me, not Louie, not Will, not John, or Doris. The Lord. So when we look at this church in Ephesus, we remember these people are just like us. God hath put all things under Christ's feet. He has given him to be the head over all things to the church. And then I want you to listen to this last part, because he's encouraging these people at this church in Ephesus. He says, which is, now the word which is referencing church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Whose body is the church? Jesus' body. You and I are part of the living, breathing ecclesia today. You and I, part of the body of Christ, the work of Christ. So when we do an Easter egg hunt and we give out little gospel messages to every single little boy and girl, goes right into their little basket to go home. We're doing that for Jesus. We're not doing it for Nancy. We're not doing it for Dick. We're not even doing it for Tammy. What we do for Christ. Because this is his body. It's his work. We are simply his fingers and his hand as he moves and works us to go about his business as a church. The church up in Island Pond dwindled down to just a few people. When I went up and met with them up there, I mean, the carpet was filthy. Nobody was cleaning. Nobody was caring for anything there. But the few that were there so desperately wanted to come back. And now they have a pastor who's going and is sacrificing to every Sunday night. He drives, what did he tell us, John? 2 hours, hour and a half every...
1 hour there and 1 hour back.
Yeah, I think it's over an hour one way, isn't it? One way and then back every Sunday night. Now, he could be sitting at home and having his wife make him a nice pot roast, and he could be sipping tea. And that's not what he's doing, because he wants to see the body of Christ survive and thrive in a little tiny town up in the Northeast Kingdom. You and I are blessed. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Ephesus. But I want to tell you, I've been to Ephesus. I went to Ephesus, I can't even remember how many years ago. Organization called me up and they said, listen, we would like to have pastors come and see the 7 churches of Asia Minor. Would you come? I said, well, how much? And it was a super phenomenal deal just for pastors. I said, I'm on board, let's go. And so they flew us in and we went and saw every of the sites of the 7 churches of Asia. And we came to Ephesus and the bus pulled up there. And you looked across a field leading up to an ancient city of ruins. And you walk in there and they have kind of a rebuilt section of the old temple to Diana. You go and you see buildings that have kind of been reconstructed from the ruins of this and this and this. And they take you down and they show you in this old stone walkways. There you can see chiseled in the floor. And they'll say, this right here is the sign of a place where Christians would gather. Not only is that church gone, that city's gone. Everything we have to protect. Our cities, our churches, our families, our faith. We have to work to protect that. Just as surely as Island Pond, just as surely as the church in Ephesus, every church has to be watched over, cared for, loved, and protected. And that's up to us. Amen? That's up to us. Pray for the persecuted believers around the world. Pray for them. They would so love to come and be here tonight, but they can't. Let's pray for them. I look back here and I see Brother Alaman. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, pretty close.
Close. And he's pastoring down in Massachusetts, unless it's changed since the last time I talked to you.
Still there,
hammering away, working hard. I'd like you to stand and close us in prayer and pray for the persecuted church around the world and pray for Victory Baptist Church.
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, to be in your presence, to be under your word. And Father, we just thank you for how you've blessed this church, blessed our country. And Lord, forgive us for all we take it for granted, the many things, Lord, just being able to come to church and not worry about being persecuted. And Father, we hope that it stays that way, but Lord, we also know you promised persecution to the church. You promised trials. So Lord, we ask for your strength upon this church, upon this group of believers here in Vermont. We ask that you would empower them, strengthen them as they're continuing to spread the gospel. Open doors for gospel conversations. Use them in a powerful way, Lord, to continue to have impact in their communities, in their workplaces, in their families. Keep them safe. Keep them encouraged and continue to fill their hearts with joy and strength as they do your work. We pray for the persecuted church around the world. Lord, we ask for an extra sense of your presence with them, Lord, as they're suffering for your sake. But Lord, your word says to use all things together for good. So we thank you, Lord, in the midst of persecution, you're using that to spread the gospel. So Father, we thank you. Nothing can stop your church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we thank you and praise you, but we ask for continued protection, for just continued endurance, guidance, wisdom for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Thank you for their faith. Continue to uphold them, use them to spread the gospel. In Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We look forward to when you come back and you set everything straight. So we praise you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. We're dismissed. Thank you so much for coming.